Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Dirt and Sprague.
Finnington waiting back behind his goal. He wants to play it himself. Lost it there to Ovechkin. Quick relay comes to the point. Chytrin fires. Just missed. Ovechkin turns. He scores! The Great Eight is the one and only at 900.
Andy Dirt Johnson. Brandon Sprague.
Side position. Clinging to Williams. Here's the shot. It's up off the brazen. And it was tipped by Williams. It went skidding wide. And that is a 16-game losing streak that the Blazers had to Oklahoma City. They outlast the Thunder 121-119.
Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 105.1 The Fan, and what we like to call the Fan Sports Network. Good morning. Happy Thursday, everybody.
What is happening?
Sunrise guys in early.
Sunrise guys.
Getting ready for the old program. Maybe put this microphone in my pants.
Oh, you're going to put your microphone in your pants today?
I might. If it means something to you, I might hide it in my pants.
Oh, we're going to get kinky today. Hide it in your pants. I like it.
Did you know who Jordan Bennington is? Bennington.
I do know who Jordan Bennington is.
That's
who
I said, Bennington.
Bennington, yeah. Come on. How do you not know who Jordan
Bennington is? Watch Game 7. Get back to me.
That is a Stanley Stanley Cup winning goaltender right there.
Oh, is he?
Yes, he is.
Oh, okay. Well, I had no clue who he was till yesterday.
Yeah, you didn't know that he tried to snag. I don't know if I've ever seen a player do that. Like, did you see the story of the Dodger? I don't know if they're Dodger fan or Blue Jay fans, but I thought I read the same person or the same group of people caught
father-son.
It was a father-son who caught the Rojas home run and then the Will Smith home run.
Yeah.
And everybody thought they threw the Will Smith home run back.
They faked it.
They did the fake ball thing.
Oh, yeah.
Which is what you had. It's game seven of the World Series, dude.
It's an old Wrigley Field trick right there.
What are the chances of catching a home run, let alone a game seven of the World Series home run? And now I think they're asking for like $3 million. So that's very normal for fan behavior. For another player to grab the puck,
that was a pretty shrewd move.
I've never seen that before. Funny.
So on the baseball part, I've long been of the opinion, I'm not giving in to the public pressure of throw the ball back. That's not our team.
God, no.
No.
I'm keeping the ball.
No.
And here's the follow-up.
Yeah.
Why are we doing the fake ball thing when everybody has a camera phone and everybody's getting caught doing it?
That's a great point. You're not fooling anybody.
Right.
You're
what did you accomplish with that?
I think
that?
You're trying to appease the people around you in case there's a mob mentality. That would be the only reason. But
I think
also,
it's the people across from you, because the people around you have seen that you've swapped the ball.
You just caught a ball. That's pretty awesome. What are the chances? Like, could you just have another ball in your pocket? Did you take a ball? Is that like a
the only way to
precautionary
really,
ball
truly
ready to go?
Disguise it. Is to have, if you have a glove, and you might be able to have a ball in there.
So you put the ball in the glove the whole game.
Yeah, you're kind of holding it down by the heel where you can kind of squeeze it with your palm. And then if you catch it,
throw.
You're reaching into the glove.
Stupid. It's still stupid. I agree with you. I think it's stupid. Just hold on to the ball.
It's game seven.
And if people are going to yell at you, say,
security.
Go screw yourself.
Yeah.
I just caught a home run in game seven of the World Series. Yeah. I don't care if it was the other team.
Now, did this Bennington, did he...
I'm assuming he gave the puck. I didn't see
the
follow-up.
He had to. The linesman caught
Everybody saw him.
Yeah,
slide it in his pants.
The
ref made him do it.
Somebody in the NHL saw what happened, and they phoned down to the ice level like the dudes in the penalty box.
In his pants, man.
It's actually a funny moment. He's at the goal.
Hilarious.
There's a break. The ref skates over to him.
Okay, I didn't see
something.
I just saw the highlight of him putting it in his pants.
It was like the next time out.
Okay, next stoppage.
It would be the equivalent look-wise is if you caught Teddy grabbing something that you know he shouldn't, and you're like, Teddy, what's in your hand?
That happens like 8,000 times a day. Put it down.
Teddy.
TV remotes are probably the big culprit, right? Any chance he gets to get his hands on a TV remote, it's chaos, because he doesn't want to give it back, starts smashing every button. Now I'm on a thing I didn't even know we had on this TV.
Yep.
Or he grabs the volume one, because we got the Bose speaker, and you just hammer the loud volume, and all of a sudden we're all deaf now. So yeah, I deal with this every day.
So I didn't see a follow-up. If he did he do this as like an F you to Ovechkin, or did he do it to like, I want the history?
That's what I don't
know.
I don't know if he was mad he gave up the 900th goal and he's like, you're not getting this puck over my dead body, or he's like, oh, I'm going to eBay for this.
Yeah, for people who don't know the context, Ovechkin scored his 900th goal last night, and he is the only player in NHL. He obviously broke the record last year, and now he's just tacking on to his own record. So he is the only player in the history of the NHL with 900 career goals, and he scored it on Binnington, the goaltender of the St. Louis Blues, and he picked up the puck after the goal was scored and just put it in his pants. Didn't give it back, skated away, thought he was being sleek with it, and it was not sleek at all.
It was like almost the side of his pants.
Yeah, he kind
of
went hip, little hip, back hip, butt action.
Well, those goalie pants, there's padding all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
So he's probably got hidden compartments down there in the goalie pants.
Yeah, but how uncomfortable is that to skate with a puck just loose in your pants?
Yeah, I imagine that can't be that comfortable, but those things are pretty loose.
Yeah,
so maybe just
he's
kind of
standing up the whole time.
That's
he never
true.
Goes,
he's not
he
sitting on
down.
Yeah,
so
that's valid.
Yeah, but
although one,
falling down.
One time you go for like a, you know, you're sliding to your hip to try and make a save, and you land on a puck, and that thing's right on your hip bone. That can't feel very comfortable.
You know, the other part of this too that I don't agree with is the idea that an athlete would be upset about giving something up to an all-time great athlete. Like, I understand you don't maybe don't want to be have your name next to his of like the 900th goal, and here's the trivia, who was in goal, and it's you,
right?
But like, also, it's Ovechkin. It's like the guy who threw the home run to Bonds. Are you really like
angry about it
or are you just saying, well, that's Barry Bonds and Barry Bonds on steroids?
I remember doing this, I can't remember, it was a home run thing or something, and we did the segment of you wouldn't want to be the guy that gave it up, and you correctly pointed out, because I had that take, and you correctly pointed out, what's the name of the pitcher that gave up the home run to Bonds?
Yeah.
And I can't tell you.
Now, people that
I know
are
it was
hards,
the Nationals.
Right?
I remember the team. I remember the moment. I can't tell you the pitcher.
Exactly.
In a million years. Also, for Binnington, like, I know if you don't follow hockey, you probably don't know who he is. He's been St. Louis's goaltender for a long time. They won a Stanley Cup in 2018.
Oh, he was the goalie for them.
He was
when
the
won
goalie
it?
When they won the Stanley Cup. Like, all he's had a great career. It's not like you gave up 100 goals to Ovechkin and that happened to be the 900th time and he just owned you his entire career. That's one that I think you kind of are thankful that you're a moment of history. You've had a great career in hockey. You have a Stanley Cup, so you got that going for you. And you just, you know, you're just going to be remembered for that. And that's not the worst thing in the world, because 900 goals is unbelievable.
I didn't know he was that close to that number. And I don't follow anything hockey. Like, Swag's like, stinking it up, should have been the Kraken. And I'm like, I just don't.
You weren't glued to the Kraken game? Our guy Furness got to do play-by-play the other night.
He did.
He was doing play-by-play for the Kraken.
He's kind of on my S list.
Furness is, for not texting you back about restaurant recommendations.
I mean, when you ask for recommendations and I give you one, and I give you a pretty good one, and then you thumbs up it, and I text you the next day, hey, did you go to it, or did you check it out,
no
and you don't respond?
He ghosted you.
It's a little bit of like, yo, bro, I get that you're a big media figure in Seattle. You cannot be so busy that you couldn't respond to that text. Nobody has that many text messages. That's the biggest fallacy in society.
I got too many. I can't respond.
Sorry I didn't hit you back, bro. It's like, okay, I know what you did. You looked at your phone, you saw the person, you chose not to respond.
You made a cognitive choice there. I'm not going to respond to your text message.
Now, sometimes you get busy and it's like a couple hours later, but like no response at all.
Sure.
Not even a follow-up, like, oh, I never responded.
Especially when it was an unsolicited text message from him asking for restaurant recommendations in Portland. Like, he was the one that started the reach out. It wasn't just a you texted him something
like, hey,
and he didn't
down.
Respond. He was
Where
the one
I
that
go?
Started the back and forth. You responded to the back and forth and then he ghosted you. He's too big time. He's Kraken guy now.
Yeah, he's big Kraken guy. That's why he was down here. They were doing some Portland Kraken thing of shoving Seattle down our throats more, and Portland sports fans going to yell at me if I don't talk about the Kraken.
Talk about the Kraken!
It's March, spring!
Damn it!
Our team! The Huskies are our little brother, though.
This is Kraken country. No, not really, but
totally rational people, these Seattle-Portland fans.
Take a deep breath. Take a deep breath, everybody, all right? It's going to be okay, I promise.
It is going to be okay.
I won't put anything in my pants during the show. I promise that.
It's good to know.
I will not. Nothing will go in my pants. They are sealed. They're tied. All right. I got my sweatpants. The strings are tied.
You're wearing sweatpants today?
I mean, kind of sweat, but they're like Lululemon athletic pants. I wear a version of these pants every day.
Oh,
well. Yeah.
I guess I didn't notice they're sweatpants.
You and,
I mean, they're
you
not. I don't know Harbaugh? What the I don't know what the technical term is. Athletic pants.
I'll use
because they're not like the sweat fabric. So maybe that's the wrong. But they're like, you know, they're Lululemon pants.
Leisure
pants.
Leisurely pants.
I wear leisurely pants every day.
I think I'll use a term that our old boss once used that we were not supposed to see, but we ended up seeing because a certain individual just left his email open in prod 3 in the old building. Dumpy.
Yeah,
you're dressing dumpy today.
I'm a little dumpy. I'm dumpy day in and day out.
I'm a little urban.
I'm okay being urban and dumpy. That can be the name of the show. I'll let that fly.
Urban and dumpy.
Urban and dumpy here. We're your sunrise guys, man.
What was your?
I gotta get up early, dude. I'm not. There's no time and effort that goes into this when you wake up at the time that we wake up,
dude. It's ridiculous. 3:40 alarm goes off after going to bed at 10:05 because yes. That Blazer game would not.
God,
end.
It would not end last
would not
night.
End
the game. Start them at 5:00. Move up the tip time. Help us out a little bit, Blazer.
What was my the piss dipper and the pickle sniffer?
Yeah, that's the other name of the show.
That's our other name of the show.
I can fly too. I don't know which one people like better, but we got a lot of options now.
The piss dipper is a pretty good one. The pickle sniffer is a little bit like, why is your nickname the pickle sniffer?
There's a backstory. It makes sense.
It's not a great backstory.
No,
actually,
it's not one you want to tell.
I actively seeked out to look at a man's unit.
I can't blame you.
Whereas you clogged a toilet in our building by dumping your. Spit in it.
I was also curious what that guy had going on. I checked it out, too. You're not alone there. I think a lot of people were. You just were brave enough to acknowledge it publicly.
It was 2009, and the internet was a thing, man. Like, it was, you couldn't avoid it. Did you see the size of it?
Exactly.
It was everywhere.
This is my point, exactly.
You know those
ads? I'm taking a peek. I'm taking a look.
When you're scrolling, and the ad drops and starts following your scroll, that was
Craig
Oden's dude. I would try to get away from it, and it would just follow everywhere I went.
A point from a listener, too, that Bennington made his name more part of the history by doing that. And that's true.
That's very
good. If you didn't want to be connected to the story, hiding the puck in your pants is not the way to. Because I would have remembered that it was St. Louis, and I saw that I wasn't watching the game live last night, but I knew that he was on 900 watch. I knew that was on the brink, and he was going to score at some point. So you see the highlight. You probably remember the team.
You do? You would have remembered that team?
I would have remembered. Like, I remember the Bonds one, and maybe that's because it's my fandom, but. I don't know if he would have put if he wouldn't have put the puck in his pants 5 years from now. If I would have asked that question, I don't think anybody would remember who he scored the goal on. But now you're probably going to remember that for a while.
Yeah, you took it too far.
It's also a notable. It's like a rememberable name too, Bennington. It's one that's not gonna. It's not like a hard Russian name. It's not Bob Roski, if you will.
Bob Roski.
It's a good old Bennington.
Yeah, Pants Bennington. That's how I'm going to remember him now.
Pants Bennington. Don't put pucks in your pants, man.
We got a lot to get to today.
We do.
It's a delightful little Thursday morning. We've got two guests today.
We do.
We got the play-by-play voice of the Iowa Hawkeyes. I believe he's been the play-by-play voice since 96.
That sounds about right.
If my research is correct. Gary Dolphin.
It's a great name.
And, you know, I hope I don't ruin this because I have a fun Dolphin game to play with him.
This could go sideways.
I don't think it's like that egregious.
He's been doing it since 96. We got to guess he's what? 60 years old? 50 something years old?
That's my guess.
Right?
Yeah.
He's got to be mid to upper 50s, early 60s.
Yep.
How many times do you think he's done the Dolphin? Like,
I don't think he's done it. What we're about
this
to do
version
to
of
start
Dolphin?
Our interview off at 6:30, I don't think he's done it.
You don't think he's done it?
I don't think he's been in an interview where somebody has done it.
Okay.
It's a fun little welcome to our show.
Hey, let's talk some football and your last name's Dolphin.
I'm not
going to
sit here and be like, how long can you hold your breath? I'm not going to do that.
You a good swimmer, Gary?
Wow, it's a unique last name.
It is a very unique
last
name.
Is that a stage name? Or is that like, there's literally people in America, last name Dolphin. That's
pretty
unique.
Cool. I'm a little jealous if that's his actual true last name.
It's a compliment.
That's a really cool last
name. It's a compliment, man.
Gary Dolphin.
You know whose name didn't get screwed up in role and attendance?
Gary Dolphin.
Gary Dolphin. You know whose did? Brandon Spragu. Is there Spraggy? No. It's Sprague.
Sprague? How do you say that one?
Sprague.
You look like a spritz. A little Italian.
Sprague!
I'm here!
So Gary Dolphin's going to join us for an early ticker at 6:30.
What's up, Swag?
You might be wondering, 6:30? That's Magic Hat. It's Thursday.
Yeah.
You're not wrong. We're moving the Magic Hat.
The Magic Hat will be moved.
It's going to go to the 9 a.m. hour, yeah. And the Magic Hat got a little bigger.
It did.
There's going to be more magic in that hat today.
We're putting pucks in that hat.
We'll explain that to you. And it's a Josh Pate Thursday, 7:40 p.m. Pate State University with a bombshell of a little grenade
bomb.
What
is he doing yesterday? Just causing havoc. What? We got to keep an eye on who?
By the way.
Does that mean he's getting fired? Does that mean he's leaving? What?
He carries weight, that Josh Pate.
Yes, he does. He knows what he's doing.
Dare I say, Dirt and Sprague brought that name up a few weeks ago would that shock ya? And yeah. I think we both were like, no.
No.
Wouldn't at all.
Not at all.
So Josh Pate will join us at 7:40. It is a loaded show. Let's get it going. Dirt and Sprague, it is good to be with you. Thursday morning, 105.1 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back in. Blazers with a nice little win last night. We'll get to that coming up at 7 a.m. I got Dan Lanning audio, and I want to ask a question going into Kinnick Stadium. How you're liking the Big Ten experience? Dan Lanning was asked about what he's learned about being in the Big Ten.
Yeah, about a year and a half, almost 2 years now.
Of course, be on with Isaac and Suk today at four o'clock still. Is it 4 o'clock today? Okay. They're road games.
As I know.
Okay, the road games.
I assume travel day is Friday.
They're not going because of the 12:30 kick. They're not going until Friday.
Mm. I was actually, is that with the closest non-West Coast Big Ten school?
Nebraska, I think, is closer.
Is Nebraska closer technically than Iowa?
Nebraska's a little closer.
We got Gary Dolphin. He is the longtime play-by-play man of Iowa football, and he'll join us coming up here. We got an early ticker. His schedule's crazy busy. He's been there forever, so we got an opportunity. We took it. We'll talk with him at 6:30. I do have a follow-up after we play our intro game with him. Did he ever at any one point of his life, was he embarrassed or not like his last name? Because it used to legitimately be an insecurity for me.
For you, because people couldn't pronounce your last name?
I just didn't like the way it sounded.
Yeah.
It was odd growing up where your mom and your little brother have different last names than you.
That's a little strange.
That's a very weird thing, and the person you're named after is not in your life at all.
Right. Like, can I change this to a different name?
I didn't think about that. Mm. It was more just like I just didn't like it. I didn't go like, I want my last name to be blank. It was I just didn't like it.
Yeah, did you just go by Brandon when you were a kid? Don't call me Sprague.
I didn't correct people.
You didn't.
The Sprague thing started pretty early, but like tell us about 8, people would call me Brandon more than anything else.
That's a guy thing when you get older. Then you eventually just become your last name, usually for the most part.
Yeah,
that's the way guys operate.
Well, but I learned this about a family friend of ours, my daughter's friend, her mom. We've been hanging out, and she revealed the other day that she hated her last name. And I'm like, well, what was your last name?
Mm.
And she goes, Beavers.
I could see why you wouldn't like that last name. I can see how that growing up wouldn't be ideal.
She said that her grandma gave her dad a bumper sticker, and the bumper sticker just said Beaver Watcher. and it was on the car. And she said,
you can't have that on your car. What are we doing here?
The dad didn't really piece it together.
How do you even get a bumper sticker that says Beaver Watcher?
I don't know.
Where do you find that? Is there like a beaver museum? Is there a beaver convenience store?
But she said that the grandma had no idea that the term beaver was not just the animal.
A double entendre, if you will.
Right. And so like she'd go to school super embarrassed because they're like, oh, it's the Beaver Watcher.
Here comes the Beaver Watcher. Watch out when you're in the locker room. Just go watch a beaver.
But it's not very often I meet somebody that also acknowledges it was a big insecurity. Like she could not wait to get married so she could change her last name.
Well, I went by Little Johnson for the majority of my adolescence youth, so that was cool.
It's a good build up for the ladies.
Little Johnson is a great nickname to carry around because I had a bigger brother. Had nothing to do with factual matters, if you will.
Who's taller?
I think you're the Little Johnson. Probably, yeah, I don't know.
Your brother's almost my height.
No, he is absolutely not your height.
Am I misremembering
your brother? You are absolutely misremembering my brother. He maybe has me by a nose, but there is not a big height difference.
So you are the little
Johnson?
I
may or may not be. I don't know. We haven't gone back-to-back in a while. Next time I see him, which would be tomorrow, we are going to go back-to-back. Mark my words.
Next to him?
Back-to-back, let's go, now! Who's taller? Who's the big Johnson around here? Yeah, that was fun to carry around for the majority of middle school, and then everybody giggles because, you know, get it? That was a fun one.
Did ladies know about it, or was that just like an inner circle thing?
I think it just, when people yell it out in a hallway at a school, you know, I think it's everybody in the vicinity of said hollering can hear Little Johnson getting ushered. And when Little Johnson gets said, everybody knows
that
means. By the time you're in seventh grade, everybody understands the reference there.
Sure.
You know, that's like in elementary school, maybe you get away with it. Nobody's connecting dots.
I would have picked that up in fifth.
Beaver Watcher. You know, maybe third graders don't quite get Beaver Watcher, but when you're in eighth grade, Beaver Watcher, not a good one to carry around.
Swag, did you ever have an insecurity about your last name? Because it's a unique last name, Swigard.
It is. No, not insecure. I mean, it got butchered when I was little.
I'd imagine that's a hard one.
The funniest way you can remember people saying it?
Well, usually it turned into Swaggart.
Swagger.
Because Jimmy Swaggart was the televangelist of the time.
Okay.
Sure.
Yeah.
And so it was that.
Okay. That makes
sense.
But
obviously my dad was a teacher when I got to junior high and everybody knew him, so everybody knew how to say it. So
you knew
it
the name at that
wasn't
point.
Wasn't that big of a deal.
Hmm. Yeah, I'll be, I don't know where I'd weigh the odds right now as we get ready to talk to Gary Dolphin.
I just can't believe, especially people in Oregon with a Sprague High School in Salem.
And a pest control company, too.
Yeah, I I've never once.
You get any of that empire? You get any of that action?
No, but I've been asked both about the high school and the pest company.
Is that named after your grandfather, huh?
Oh, God.
I just can't believe your name got butchered as much as you say it did.
There's a Sprague overpass road on the way to Eugene off I-5.
Is there really?
One of the overpasses is a Sprague road.
So it's all over the map. I mean, it's all over
the state
of Oregon.
It's in Tacoma, too. There's a Sprague Avenue. Yeah. There's an exit for it.
Sprague's everywhere,
that,
man.
That one boggles me that you said it would people, like, fumbled with that as much as they did.
I'm not exaggerating here.
I'm not saying that.
I'd say 85% of the teachers at like the beginning of the school year, and then you add subs throughout the year, butchered it the first time, every time. Didn't matter if there was a high school. I didn't even know there was a high school most of my life.
Where is Sprague High School?
Salem.
Salem. Okay.
It's a ritzy Salem area.
Because I've known Sprague High School forever. I never connected the dots where
it is. The Olympians.
Yeah. The Sprague Olympians.
I've always wanted a jersey because I just think the front of it says Sprague.
That's pretty badass. You should get one that is a customized one, too.
Sprague Square.
Now, I would also contend with, I don't know how many people got made fun of for their names for those reasons, a la Little Johnson, but what percentage of people actually love their name?
Smiths have to love it.
You think so? Don't you want to stand out? You want to be a peacock? I feel like if I'm a Smith, I'm blending into the crowd.
Out, there's 8 billion Smiths.
Yeah, but Johnson's a pretty common name.
It's a very common name. Johnson, I like. I'm a big fan of the Johnson.
Sure.
Don't pull that. First name is more of like, you know, maybe just you say it so many times in your life, like Andy, you just hear it over and over.
I'm like,
then
this.
The Toy Story movie comes out, and then you're the kid in Toy Story, and then there's eventually a connection to you, you know.
Before I met you, Andy for me was mostly a girl's name.
Yeah, there's that too.
I know it's a unisex thing, but
I've never met a female Andy, but I know there are female Andys out there.
It's like a Kelly thing.
Yes.
You know? Sometimes that's the reverse.
Is it a Y? Is it an I? Is it an IE? How do you spell it?
Yeah, Kelly Kapowski.
Okay. And there's some hot Kellys out there.
There are some very hot Kellys out there. I don't know what the percentage would be, but I'd say there's a fair amount of people out there that have to be like us, that in some way either got teased by their name or felt insecure about their name.
Yeah, just not a fan of it in general. The more you say it, the older you get, you're like, that's one of the benefits of being called Dirt for the last 25 years. Just kind of, you know, not many people call me Andy anymore.
Yeah, but you can't do it in front of certain people in your family.
No, they don't like that nickname. You don't call me Dirt, all right?
I'd prefer Andy.
Or Andrew.
I named him. I'm sorry, Sue. That's my bad.
Left-handed.
I still see him, and if his mom's around, I will be like, hey, dear Andy.
Was that a Randy? Did you start a Randy on me? Was that a Dandy? Where are you going with that?
Oh, man. The funniest one was a kid telling me they were insecure about their last name being Brooks.
I'm like, what? Brooks, why? Because you don't like Garth Brooks? What's the reasoning there? I'm a fan of the name Brooks.
That's such a simple name.
Brooks, what's up, Brooks?
You can't screw that one up.
I think Brooks is a great first name,
Brooks
too.
Brooks becomes Brooksy pretty quick.
It does. Brooksy. Yeah. You can go Brooksy. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's find out if Gary Dolphin was ever insecure about his last name.
God, please don't go sideways. Please.
Did you get your end of this in?
Keep it on. I'm trying to figure it out. If not, we'll do it live. The computer's not connecting to the internet, so that's okay. Lovely today.
Well, I hope you're ready to do it live.
Oh, I'm ready. We're ready.
We will talk with Iowa play-by-play man Gary Dolphin next for an early ticker on 105.1 The Fan.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
Pelican invites you to take a beach break at one of their coastal locations. Pacific City, Tillamook, Cannon Beach, Lincoln City, and now open in Rockaway Beach. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach.
Thinking about a nice little warm, sunny beach day. May not be happening today, but I'm still thinking about it nonetheless. Today's Daily Ticker brought to you on The Fan by Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach, with five coastal locations now, dude. One, two, three, four, and five.
Got
with
options.
The addition of Rockaway Beach, Oregon. Still haven't checked it out, but I'm looking forward to seeing it. You should, too. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach. Pretty excited for this weekend's tilt. Been looking forward to this one for a couple weeks now. We got a top 20 showdown, according to the College Football Playoff Committee with their recent rankings. It's Oregon going to Kinnick Stadium, where they have not been since 1989. We're excited to preview the game with our good friend, the longtime voice of the Iowa Hawkeyes, Gary Dolphin on Twitter, at Gary Dolphin. Gary, good morning. How are you?
Hey, guys. Good morning. Brandon, Andy, good to be on with you. Yeah, it's, you know, Kinnick Stadium is a lot like Autzen Stadium. It's two family-friendly institutions venues that are old and homey, and boy, they are rocking and loud on game day. So it'll be no different this Saturday.
Well, we're looking forward to it. This is definitely a game that we talked about in like the July, August time of like if you're to go to a road game, the Whiteout Penn State game was going to be a big one, but Kinnick was right there in the conversation. We have a lot of the football to get to, but we're going to start off. We're a pretty loose-based show here out West, Gary. We love our football, but we love to get to know our guests a little bit as well. We were just talking about, my last name is Sprague, and for the longest time, I, as a child, felt very insecure. Nobody could say my last name correctly when they'd read it out loud. It was a very embarrassing moment, and you've got a cool, kick-ass last name in Dolphin. So I want to play a fun Dolphin game with you, Gary. I have three bits of audio I'm going to play consecutively, and I want you to tell me, Gary Dolphin, what is the real Dolphin sound? So here's the first one. Here's the second one. And here's the third one. What is the real dolphin sound of those three there, Gary?
I don't know. They all sound pretty accurate to me, pretty authentic. I know that last one is a fish from County Sligo in Ireland, where his ancestors came from.
There we go.
The first two, are they both dolphins?
Yeah. One human, yeah, one okay. Actual dolphin.
Yeah,
we got two different options.
Made
there.
The first sound effect out of his own throat, and the second one is one I pulled from the internet. So, yeah, real dolphins.
Well, Nico Regani, I always had fun with his family because over 4 years, and you guys know this, either a player's dad or mom or the player himself will come up and say, hey, no, it isn't pronounced that way. It's pronounced this way. Mm-hmm. So I got like six different pronunciations of Regani and a good Italian family that they are. And my other favorite one is we used to have a defensive end who was really good. He played like 6 or 7 years with the Cardinals in the NFL. And his name was Kenny Owabama. And it was, I believe, Somalian or Nigerian from Africa originally. And he came, and I asked him three times at three different press days, his freshman, sophomore, and junior years, and it was Owabama. So his senior year, he comes to me, he says, hey, Dolph, it's Iwobima. I go, Kenny. I can tell he's serious. You know, he's 6'5", right. 275 pounds. I'm not going to argue with him. I said, what changed? He says, Mom wants it pronounced a Wubbum. I go, okay, mother's always right. But it's, as you know, if you're in this business, you're going to get taken to the carpet. You know, it just grinds me every time I hear somebody say, Kirk Ferentz.
Yes.
I say, people, he's been here 26 years. Can't we get it right? Ference. But I know you guys don't do that. So
no,
we're good.
Of course not. Now, did you enjoy growing up with the last name Dolphin? Was that a fun one to have? Did kids ever tease you? That's such a cool name. I can't imagine you got teased too often.
Well, I grew up with that. Yeah, and you're right. Well, they did tease. You know, they called you porpoise and fish, and that's okay. I mean, that's pretty tame by today's standards. And you know, I guess the history is it originally was spelled D-A-U-P-H-I-N, and as you know, in Ireland back in the 1300s, you could get in an argument over almost anything and have a spear shoved through your chest. And there were two factions of the Dolphins. One broke away and said, "The hell with you people! We're going to spell ours D-O-L-P-H-I-N."
No way!
Actually, it was my ancestors. Yeah, I got the actual insignia of the castle adorning shield of the Dolphins. That is a bony fish. So there you go.
How about that, man? Do you think you guys were
awesome backstory?
Were you the family that probably launched the spear into somebody's chest, or do you know any of that?
Well, if we would change the writing of our last name, I'm guessing we'd throw a spear or a sword, too.
You're damn right you would.
Gary, they both had castles over there, is what I'm told. You know, family trees are wonderful.
Yes, they are.
Gary Dolphin, our guest here, longtime voice of the Iowa Hawkeyes. We're looking forward to this matchup. Gary, what is the matchup with these two teams when you see what you've seen with Oregon and so far Iowa season? What is the matchup for you that you kind of circle and you go, the what dictates the game could break down into what matchup for Gary Dolphin?
Well, I think it's your outstanding quarterback, Dante Moore, against this Iowa defense. The Iowa defense is certainly legitimate. They've been legit, top 10 in most statistical categories for as long as I can remember. An amazing stat to me is through the last 10 seasons, not 10 games, but 10 seasons, on average, the Iowa defense has given up less than 20 points a game. I mean, that's just a remarkable number. But if you've watched Norm Parker and now Phil Parker's defenses down through the years, they never change. They're a base 4-3. They'll alternate off that. They don't blitz a lot, but they'll send pressure on occasion. And their whole mantra, their whole MO is don't let anybody beat you over the top. Now, that's hard to do when you're playing Indiana and now Oregon, because when I watched the Ducks for 100 years growing up and always admired the uniforms, let alone their talent. But when you watch Oregon play, you know you're getting speed, you're getting athleticism, you're getting big guys on top of that can make plays. And so I think, the weather doesn't look real promising for Saturday, but I know you guys are used to rain and wind out in the great Northwest. And here in Iowa, it's now you throw in 35 degrees in November, and the elements perhaps could play a factor. But Dante Moore is, he's a Detroit kid. He knows what the Midwest is all about, and he's solid. And, when you're playing the game for this much on the line, you're going to throw caution to the wind, as they say, and get after it. So right now, I think it's Dante Moore and how he handles the Iowa defense. The Iowa front is spectacular. The down four, a lot of inexperience at the linebacker position. And then the safeties are great for the Hawks, and the cornerbacks are getting better. So that tells me Dante's going to be looking for those tight ends and those running backs over the middle, those short routes. Get it in their hands and see what they can do.
It was a great story I heard from Phil Parker about recruiting a kid from Detroit High School in Michigan and having, he's on the same team as Dante Moore, and Lanning, I think, was at one of the games recruiting him, and they bumped into each other on the sideline. So a lot of familiarity there. You guys have had a reputation for a long time of pulling off big upsets at home and being a really tough place for teams to go play. We all know there's different atmospheres throughout the course of the season that just are a little bit louder and a little more important, and we like to be loud every week. Where is this game just on the anticipation scale? When was the last time you have a comparable game like this of, a big-time program, a top-10 team, and Iowa has a ton to play for, still alive for a lot of things in front of them? Where's the anticipation at for this one?
Well, it's up there with, the first school I'll give you is Iowa State. I mean, it's no different than Oregon State. It's a war zone every year when the Cyclones and the Hawkeyes play. And what I always found unique about that game is it's Big 12 versus Big 10. You know, typically back in the day, Oregon State are in the same conference. Georgia Tech used to be, USC, UCLA. But Iowa State, that's Big 10 versus Big 12. So there's always a little extra salt thrown in the wound on that one. And it's no different than the interstate matchup now that you folks have there. That'd be the first game I'd start with. The other one would be, there are a bunch, but the other one would be just a few weeks ago when Indiana came to Kinnick. Up until that time, up until now, that's the loudest I think that I've ever heard Kinnick. And for a variety of reasons, it's a Big Ten game. Indiana, I think, was ranked second at that time and still are. And Indiana has been down for so long in football that it's kind of a fun story, really. And I know nobody's happy about losing to Indiana. The Hawks and the Ducks did. But that would be the second game. Whenever Michigan or Ohio State come to Kinnick, it's special. And you can add, and then there's the border rivals, Minnesota, Nebraska, Wisconsin. So it's hard to pick one, but if you pin me down, it would, this one Saturday will rival all of those. And I'm not saying that just to, throw cake at the Oregon fan base, but the Ducks have been top 10 for a long time. And Kinnick is, it was built in 1928. For $500,000. You probably pay a little bit more today to build that stadium. But it's, the history of Niall Kinnick, it's a salute to Military Week. So that's always extra special at Iowa, given who Niall Kinnick was and how he gave his life in World War II. He probably would have been a U.S. senator, might have run for president. He was a Phi Beta Kappa and the best player in America in 1939 when all of it hit the fans. So it's there's a lot of history, a lot of excitement building around Oregon coming to town. And, to your point, I think I heard you say in your opening, they haven't been to Iowa City since 1989. Yeah. And that was a pounding that they put on Hayden Fry's team that year. And there's a lot at stake, let alone the college football playoffs, seeding the Big Ten championship race. It's just, it doesn't happen often around Iowa, but when it does, the fan base will be really jacked.
Last one for you, Gary, because we appreciate the time. If Iowa is to pull an upset and keep this thing close, because from a talent composite standpoint, they're very different, right? But Iowa's really good. It's a home game for them. The weather could get ugly. What's the score you envision if you're seeing Iowa win the game or it coming down to the wire?
I see 24-21, 20-17, something like that. I know both teams have, here's something we haven't even mentioned yet. The Hawks have the best special teams player, the most exciting player maybe we've seen since Tim Dwight in Caden Wiegen. And so he'll get everybody on their feet at least once or twice, and he could be a difference maker. And by that, I mean special teams could be a difference maker. Iowa has an All-American kicker and Drew Stevens, who just surpassed Nate Kading, for crying out loud, in total field goals for a career. So to me, if the weather holds like it's supposed to, if it does rain, if it is windy, then you're talking special teams or a turnover.
Here we go. Good stuff. Gary Dolphin, the longtime voice of the Iowa Hawkeyes, getting ready to make the call this weekend with Oregon going to Kinnick Stadium for the first time since 1989. You were a good sport in playing the Dolphin sound effect. No spears were throwing, so everybody's going to get out of this healthy.
We're all alive.
And it's good to have a new friend in the Big Ten. Gary, we appreciate the time. Have a good call and enjoy the game.
Good stuff, boys. Have a good day. Thanks for having me.
All right, there we go. Gary Dolphin, our very own.
Got our Dolphin.
We got our Dolphin.
Something about guys who've done that job for a long time, that they all have that great, I mean, just pipes.
It's a real
days,
veteran
God,
sizzle. Just, there's a deepness to it.
Yes.
It's just, it's perfect. Him and the Indiana guy.
Indiana guy's
the
same way.
Blanket, our friend in Indiana.
Oh, God. Fisher?
Yes.
Don Fisher.
Fisher.
Yeah,
the
Don
Colorado
Fisher.
Guy was the same way. I remember talking to the Colorado guy.
Now, Michigan has a new, it was Brandstatter.
Same thing.
Paul Keels has huge, deep pipes at Ohio State.
Yeah. I feel like that's if you're a Big Ten, old-timey radio, like that.
I'm going to have to drop my voice another octave.
I was going to say, you're too high-pitched, Swag.
Go to the Big Ten.
Probably makes you feel like a child hearing these guys on the phone.
God, I'd love to walk around just for a day with pipes like that. That's got to feel really cool. He was awesome, man. It's going to be a fun game.
I'm looking forward to the matchup. Good stuff there from Gary Dolphin. Coming up next, I'm going to stick in this. We'll kind of weave in and out of this game.
Sure.
This number for Iowa going in. Ooh. And could something legendary be on the line this weekend against Oregon? I'll tell you what it is. Next, Dirt and Sprague 105.1 The Fan.
Hey, Dirt and Sprague here, sticking around for our good friends at Trajan Wealth. The time is now to start thinking about your retirement. I know the holidays are right around the corner. It's already upon us, but it's still not too late to check out this year's financial resolution. Check it off your list. Give Trajan Wealth a call today to start achieving your financial goals. We're both clients now. We love being clients. It's been awesome. So far, they got offices located in Lake Oswego and Vancouver, and you can give them a call and reach them 503-210-5800 or go check them out online, Trajan Wealth, TRAJANWealth.com.
Yeah, the wife and I used to wonder if we had enough to retire, if we're missing anything. We met with Trajan Wealth, Kendra, over there in Lake Oswego. They're in Vancouver now as well. We got answers, and we got a real plan. They're not just advisors, they're fiduciaries, and they treated us like family. Again, we're both clients. They've earned our trust. Take stress off your shoulders. Call Trajan Wealth today for a free consultation. 503-210-5800 or online at TrajanWealth.com.
It's never too early to start planning for retirement. Give them a call today. The consultation is free. 503-210-5800, TrajanWealth.com. Advisory services offered through Trajan Wealth LLC, SEC registered investment advisor, client, paid advertisement, additional disclosures at TrajanWealth.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
We will magic hat in the 9 a.m. hour. We got to make our big pee-pee picks today. All the local schools. Are my Beavers red hot and rolling?
I'm about to rattle off three in a row, man. Here they come.
Maybe four. Tulsa around the corner. You better watch out.
4-8, 5-7. Could they be 5-7?
They're absolutely winning this weekend, by the way.
You get the Cougs twice? What if you beat the Cougs twice?
Here's a real question for you. Would they have won these games with Trent Bray? Because I can make an argument they would have.
Yeah, probably.
Most of these teams suck.
I mean, the Lafayette one is like no counties.
Sam Houston's winless.
Sam, yeah, if you win this weekend.
Tulsa's not good. I've looked into them a little bit.
Yeah, and Trent Bray beat Washington State last year, so I'm not going to say that he couldn't beat Washington State this year.
Like,
so,
I don't think this is an achy thing. I think this is a schedule thing. But
oh, for the love of God, don't do that, Oregon State. They're not going to do that, are they? They're not doing that. They're not doing that.
They won't do that.
No. Okay, good.
We'll kind of weave in and out. I do have some Oregon stuff. We got landing cuts I want to get to today. Here's two things that I want to bring to your attention. Good stuff from Gary Dolphin on the ticker.
Yeah.
11.
11.
11 is the number going in.
Netflix. Wait, what? Stranger Things.
Iowa is 0 for their last 11 against ranked teams.
Oh, okay. Does that mean that Oregon's going to win or that Iowa's due? Beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
11's a lot.
That's a long stretch.
And there's some Kirk Ferentz stuff we can talk about today because I looked up Kirk Ferentz and I know he's been there since 1999.
Long time.
And, you know, the general school of thought is really good coach. He has a lot of respect in the coaching community. Lanning has said multiple times how much he has respect for him.
He is the all-time winningest coach in the Big Ten.
Yeah, he's been there a long time.
Are we getting to Kirk Ferentz poo-poo right now?
I want to talk about Kirk Ferentz today. Yeah, I'm kind of curious on some stuff with Kirk Ferentz. But I was listening to the Locked On Hawkeyes podcast.
How are they covering the game?
More of the podcast was on the basketball team than it was the football game.
That's interesting. They are the number one. Are they number one? No, Purdue's number one. Is Purdue number one? Yeah, Purdue's number one. I knew there was a random Big Ten team that was number one.
Well, they had their opener Tuesday. That's why he had games. He's got a game Friday, too, before the football game.
Oh, Gary does. Gary's busy this week.
Yeah. Anyways, they've done a lot of football stuff this week. Sure. It's just the last episode. They threw out there on this, and they did say they're not reporting this. Just threw out nonchalantly, Ferentz, they think Ferentz is going to retire if he has a special season.
I could see that happening.
And that could be a playoff season that could involve beating a team like Oregon. And it was just something on their radar of like, I don't know if they win the game this weekend is what they said. But if they do, and then they beat USC at USC, they very well could find themselves, given Nebraska's quarterback situation.
Yes.
If they're a two-loss team, they're in the playoff. Because if they beat Oregon this weekend, they're up. Yeah. And it was just something they threw out as like, think about this, of like, if they beat Oregon and they go to that playoff, I don't know if they'll win a game, but that's a pretty magical end of a run.
Oh, dude, it'd be if Iowa goes to a playoff, that's a dream season for them. That's
so
massive.
You guys coming into Kinnick might be setting up a little bit of, like, legendary walk-off stuff for Iowa, potentially.
Look, we're everybody's Super Bowl, man. This could be their Super Bowl this weekend. I can't wait. They do go on the road to USC the next week. You mentioned the Nebraska thing. It is in Lincoln this year, but even with healthy quarterbacks, dude, they have owned that rivalry.
Yeah.
Go look at the win-loss in the last, like, since Nebraska joined the Big Ten, and that's their new end of the season. They can't beat Iowa.
They have Michigan State on that schedule.
And
that's
gonna
a win.
Kick the crap out of Michigan State, so yep, that's not a concern there. So, yeah, I mean, they're still alive. They have two losses by a combined. We've talked about it all week. The three-point field goal loss to Iowa State, then the five-point loss to Indiana. That's a little misleading because Mendoza took a safety in the last play of the game to kill the clock. So it's 20-13, but they lost by five. So they've lost two games by 8 points. One of those teams is ranked number two in the country, and you have multiple chances in the next 2 weeks to pull off a rank win starting this weekend. So they're absolutely still alive in the playoff chase. I kind of like now going into a game where it feels like the general sentiment is, ooh, I don't know about Oregon this week. I don't know. Iowa's becoming kind of a trendy pick. The line's coming down a little bit. I'd much rather be in that spot than everybody tell me my team's going to kill Iowa, and then they don't kill Iowa, and then we have to come in Monday and be like, what's wrong with your team? It's like, well, you put the expectations on them, not me. This is your fault. Don't blame it on me, man.
We had to get to the second hour. We got to tip our cap to the Portland Trailblazers. I find you this season, mm-hmm, I think the Indiana game has broken you in some ways.
Oh, dude, I've been broken for a long time, man.
I know, but
this is a long
you
time.
You feel a little
a long
more
build.
You feel a little more
the Rose Bowl being down 34-0 in the first half didn't break me. That broke me. Losing to Washington twice in the same year, that broke me. I've been broken for a while, buddy.
I understand it. This season in particular, you have a weird energy to you about your team. I think you really like your team, but you don't think your team is that amazing, but they can be.
I don't know who they are. That's the beauty of it.
Yeah.
I have no clue.
Right.
They win by 20 this weekend, I'm not surprised. They lose the game, I'm not surprised. I have no clue what to expect on Saturday.
That's the energy you're carrying.
Yes. Yeah.
Loaded second hour. We'll get back into the Ducks. We got landing cuts we'll get to. How about the Blazers doing something yesterday nobody else in the NBA has been able to do?
What?
And a couple fun stats about that game. We'll get into that. Hour number two, Dirt and Sprague 105.1, The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.